It cuts both ways, though, right? It's like you get hungry an hour sooner before church is over. It's like you're used to eating, right? And all of a sudden, but we're going to not waste too much time. We're going to get right to it this morning. It's a special day. Special day. We have a baby dedication this morning. We're going to share in communion, the Lord's table, this morning. But we have the privilege first of dedicating Mr. Avalon Bright Mansour to the glory of God. And this is one of my favorite parts of ministry, truth be told. In case anyone hasn't noticed, I love kids. I love kids, and occasionally they like me back a little bit. We have a good time. You know, it's kind of neat, though. Jesus had an affinity for children, didn't he? And as it turns out, in Matthew 18, he said this. Y'all help me understand this Bible verse. Here's what he said. "See to it that no one looks down on these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." That's heavy, man. That's heavy. I don't really even know what all that means. I know this. It means that God regards children. That he regards the life of a child. And it got me to thinking. It made me wonder this week. Did you ever notice all the birth stories that have been written in Scripture? All the birth stories in the Bible from beginning to end, really, throughout the whole book. In fact, the idea of birthing a child in particular, that's the description that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write to the Romans in chapter 8 of that book in order to describe our time of waiting and longing and groaning and labor pains, as it were, while we look forward and eagerly wait for our physical adoption and the return of Messiah. This is the description he used, a child being born. So our plight is one that's similar to that of a mother in labor and a child being born, and all these stories of physical births that have been included in the Scripture. It's not like, they just kind of as an afterthought threw in, yeah, this person was born or that person was born. No, it's central to the theme and the message that runs throughout Scripture. And there are actually some pretty amazing individual accounts if you think about it. How about the birth of Cain? How about the birth of Cain? What in the world must that have been like after hearing that? Well, first of all, it's the first time, right? First time for everything. And here a life is coming into the world, and the Scripture, it's almost like he just spares us some of the details here. You know, he said that it was going to be pain in childbirth just a few verses before, and God spares us some of that, and it just says that Eve gave birth to Cain, Genesis 4:1. Very unceremoniously, Eve gave birth to Cain. I promise you, any mother who's here never had an unceremonious birth experience in her life. I'll guarantee you. And that one was no exception. But Eve immediately recognizes in that moment and in that experience that it wasn't just her and Adam's doing, but that God himself was involved in this. She said, "I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord." With the help of the Lord. It wasn't just biology, right? We tend to somehow water it down in our day and look at the biological implications of a husband and wife coming together, but there's so much more to it than that. Then all the births that followed, from Abraham to Moses, what a unique birth story Moses had, right? I mean, a baby in a basket on a river? Come on. That's an amazing story, and somehow separated from his mother, but reunited, and the very person who's asked to raise him is his mother. You can't make this stuff up. It's an incredible, incredible story of birth and dedication. All the way through the patriarchs, the times of the judges, the kings of Israel, the prophets, all the way to Christ himself, the most unique birth story of all, right? And all of these conceptions and births, each one a miracle, each one a life story, with a unique individual who's created in the image of God at a specific time, in a specific location, with peculiar and distinct circumstances for each child who's born. Select parents for distinct purpose by God's design, for God's glory. Think about that. It's not just biology, is it? It's not just cause and effect. Meanwhile, that first birth only happened with the help of the Lord, and no birth since has happened without the help of the Lord, Avalon's included. Some of the more well-known instances, of course, are Hannah. We're familiar with her dedicating Samuel to the Lord. Hannah was unable to conceive for some reason. You know, and the scripture makes no bones about it. It says it very clear. In fact, Samuel himself is believed to have written this. I don't know if we like it very much, but the Bible and Samuel say the Lord had closed her womb. And that flies in the face of our independence and our own will, right? But here's how they understood it. These biblical characters see it differently. It's with the help of the Lord children are conceived, and none are conceived apart from God's miracle of creating a new life in his image. And so resolved were they in this understanding of God and the world around them that 1 Samuel 1:15 says of Hannah's conceiving Samuel, the Lord remembered her. And it came about in due time that she gave birth to a son. And they were so steeped in this understanding that we have a number of instances in which the parents would dedicate their children to the Lord, as Hannah does here. Lord, this is a child that's not from my hand, a child from your hand, and I'm going to say, this is your child, not mine. I'm going to dedicate this son to the Lord. And that's what we have this morning, as parents who want to do that same thing. But before they do, for just a couple of minutes, I want to look at Judges chapter 13 that gives a birth account of Samson. And it tells a story of two parents who not only dedicated their son to the Lord, but who also dedicated themselves to the Lord. And when we hear Samson, what do we usually think of? We think of feats of strength, right? We think of the Spirit of God coming on him and him doing something that's miraculous or something that other people just don't normally do, right? That's what we think of. We envision him performing these amazing physical feats. But before all that, Samson had an amazing birth story. The Bible tells us there was a man named Manoah whose wife was barren, and with the help of the Lord, she conceived. Judges 13 says, the angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife and said, you have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son. Do you see the story within a story here? Do we see a pattern throughout Scripture that's one story? An angel speaks to a woman who's not had a son, that he's going to have a son, and he's going to be a part of deliverance for God's people. Are you kidding me? It's in plain sight right here. We see the story repeated. We see it with Elizabeth. The angel came and said, you've been barren, but you're going to have a son. We see it with Mary, of course. But we see once again also that every life is unique and beautiful and precious and ordained and created in God's image. And when his wife recounts this story to him, Manoah's curious and interested, to say the least. If your wife came to you and said, an angel appeared to me and said, we're going to have a son, I'm sure all the husbands would be curious and interested in that as well. He wants to see this angel of God, this man of God for himself. That's a typical husband too. I want to see this for myself. I want to see this angel here. And so he prays to God that the man of God, the angel of the Lord, would appear again. It's a fascinating story. You should go back this week and read the birth story of Samson. It's really amazing. And Manoah asked him, are you the man who spoke to my wife? And he says, I am. I am. Doesn't get much clearer than that. I am, he says. And he instructs them not only that the child will be dedicated to God, but that they also should take part in him being dedicated to God. Pay attention, he says to Samson's mother. Don't eat anything unclean. Don't eat anything that comes from the vine, or drink any wine or strong drink. And Manoah's like, okay, that's great. I've got a goat out back. You got time for a barbecue? Literally, he says, I've got a goat. I'm going to go cook him up. You got some time here? And the man of God, the angel of the Lord, says, I'm not going to eat a thing of yours. But if you want to have a barbecue, sacrifice it to God, which he does. And all this in preparation for a life that's being born. He asks him his name. He says, what's your name? And he says, my name is Wonderful. It's so wonderful, in fact, you won't even be able to understand it fully. So we'll just leave it at wonderful, at wonder that you can't really conceive of. Fascinating story, all in preparation for the life of a child that's being born. Think about it. I'm not going to eat your food. And it's at that point Manoah says, I think in the Hebrew it's, oh shoot. Oh snap. Oh snap in the Hebrew. He's like, oh shoot. No, he's not, but it's just about that crazy when you read what happens next. Manoah brings the goat with the grain offering and presents it to God, and the scripture says that the angel of the Lord performed wonders while Manoah and his wife looked on. What in the world must that have been like? Here we have the barbecue that's going on. What were these wonders that the angel of the Lord performed? We don't even know. It's not in the description there. He just says that he performed these wonders. The man named Wonderful, whose name is too wonderful to understand, performs wonders at Manoah's barbecue. I want to go to that kind of barbecue, man. You can't make this up. All in preparation for the life of a child who was to be born. I think our appreciation for the miracle of life and for the child who's not yet born has waned over the centuries that have followed. It's not just biology. And Manoah sees the gravitas of the situation. He says, we will surely die, for we have seen God. All this in preparation for a child that's being born. And not just the life that's being born, but in preparation for the glory of God that would be seen in this life and that would be reflected in this life of the child being born. That we would echo his glory and point to the God of heaven. Now, it's easy to look at this and think, oh, sure, that's a Bible story, right? That's not me or you. That's not Avalon. This is something specific. That's Samuel or that's Samson or that's Emmanuel. I submit to you today that we have no idea what God has prepared for Avalon or for you. Or for a crotchety old grandpa. We have no idea. In fact, that's how the scripture says it. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him, to reflect his glory in this life and in the life to come. And with so much at stake and with so much potential hanging in the balance, in light of anything and everything that God wants to do and will do in the life of any one of us, Rob and Delilah Mansour want to present their son Avalon to the Lord this morning, as Hannah presented Samuel, as Mary and Joseph presented Yeshua. And not just present their son to God, but they want to also present themselves to the Lord and to us, his body, the Christ community. And Rob and Delilah have experienced the whirlwind of life the last couple of years, just as a lot of us have experienced that, and it still feels like the whirlwind sometimes, doesn't it? And I can relate to that. And it hasn't been an easy road for them on the pathway to Avalon's conception. They endured losses along the way, and if you've ever experienced the pain of barrenness or the pain of miscarriage, then you know it's a difficult loss that you will absolutely grieve. But the Lord remembered Delilah. And he remembered Rob. And with the help of the Lord, in due time, along came Avalon Bright Mansour. And some months ago, after being isolated during the pandemic and feeling disconnected from community, God brought Rob and Delilah and Briar Rose and Avalon to this congregation. And I'm thankful that he has been connecting them to community here, and I'm going to invite them to come up now as we dedicate Avalon. Come on up, you guys.